Mark chapter 3, and I want you to find verse number 22. The Bible says, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He," now that's Jesus, "hath Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." Notice verse 27. "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for the friendship and the fellowship. God, thank you for the atmosphere that is tonight conducive to preaching the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd be a shield over my mind, be a watch over my tongue, and a guardian over my thoughts. God, everything I do and say tonight would not be to edify self, but it would be to promote the Word of God. And I pray you'd do it, Lord. Teach it to us. Mold us around it. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. You can be seated. It is in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus has begun a public ministry. And in this public ministry, for the first time in Mark's gospel, he begins to do battle with the devil. Am I saying to you tonight that the devil is not a fictional character? He is not someone that a preacher made up to scare you into doing right. The devil is not something that is a fairy tale handed down in mythology, but the devil is a real being. I'm going to need some help now. The devil is a real being. He is an angel that was designed to glorify God. But through pride, he was lifted up. And isn't it amazing that the same pride that lifts us up is the same pride that brings us down? He is a fallen angel that was designed to glorify God. And ever since his fall, he has sought to destroy the work of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if he's going to destroy the work of God, he's going to seek to destroy the people of God. Jesus begins to do battle. I love the last verse that we read. Jesus said that no man will enter into a strong man's house. I want you to look at me now. Now this, I want you to stay with me and help me. The devil in this verse is the strong man. The devil is a strong man. He has power to mess with your life and mess with your family. He has power to intervene in this world. He is a strong man. Now don't y'all die on me. The devil is a strong man. Peter said that he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said that he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil is a strong man. And Jesus said nobody goes and messes with a strong man unless they've got a stronger man. Well, I guess I'll back up and say that again. You don't go messing with the strong man unless you've got a stronger man. I know the devil's a roaring lion, but thank God I know a lion killer. I know the devil has power, but this is no spiritual tug of war, and I'm not sitting back chewing my nails trying to figure out who's going to win. I know who's going to win. There's one in us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jesus is the final authority. And I want to say to you tonight that the devil is not omnipresent. Y'all understand what that means? The devil is not everywhere at one time. Matter of fact, I'm going to cut some of us down a notch or two. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think I've ever met the devil. Now, I've met some of his sisters. Can somebody say amen? Well, now, if he can be mean, I can too. Bless God. Y'all don't die on me. I'm riding his coattail tonight. Amen. Now, I never met the devil, but I have shook hands with his sister a time or two. The devil is not omnipresent. He is not everywhere at all times messing with everybody. He is not omnipresent. But I say to you tonight that though he is not omnipresent, he has a legion of demons that has been trained at his bequest for thousands of years. And though you may not do battle with the devil, you will do battle with somebody that works for him. And every one of us tonight are going to find a time in our life when we must come against the enemy and we must do battle with the devil. And I'm not going to preach long tonight, I promise you, but here's what I want to tell you, is it will, I'm going to need a witness right here. It will amaze you who you fight when you fight the devil. Y'all got 20 minutes worth of preaching left in you? It'll amaze you who you'll fight when you fight the devil. Jesus in our text tonight has come out, and I don't have time to read it all, but he gave his disciples power to overcome unclean spirits as he began his public ministry. Demon-possessed people fell out before him. The Pharisees said he's casting out devils by the devil, and Jesus takes on the very gates of hell. He begins to do battle with Satan himself, and it's amazing who you fight when you fight the devil.
Amen.
See, what's wrong with some of us is we waiting on somebody with a red tail and horns on their head and a pitchfork, and that ain't how he shows up. I better get back in the Bible. I've got three tonight that are directly out of our text that when Jesus took on hell, it's amazing. I don't use this term lightly, but when Jesus took on hell, it's amazing who gave him hell for taking on hell. Notice in verse 21 of our text, the Bible says of chapter 3, verse 21, and when his, say it out loud, friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Y'all making it too easy tonight. When you begin to fight the devil, the first group that you will find coming against you is people that ought to be for you turn out to be against you. People that are your friends come against you in an unmistakable way. They will oppose what God is doing in your life. And I want to walk carefully here. I don't want to say anything out of line, but the friends in verse 21, these were the friends of Christ. Who were they? They had grown up with him and gone to synagogue school. They had worked with him at his daddy's, or at Joseph's carpenter shop. They had walked the dusty streets of Nazareth beside of him. They had sat as young men and discussed philosophy and religion. They had spoke of politics, and they were friends, I believe, from his childhood days. And it amazes me, Brother Rusty, that for 30 years, oh, I feel like preaching, for 30 years, they had never given him trouble. For 30 years, they had never opposed him. But today, he took on the devil, they said he has lost his mind. That verse amazes me. Jesus' friends came, and they came to lay hold on him, and they said he is beside himself. Y'all want the South Georgia Cotton Patch translation? That boy done sure enough lost his ever loving mind. And we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the friends of Jesus. Can I tell you something? You start serving God, there's going to be some of your friends trying to hold you back. Oh, I need more help than that right there. You start trying to serve God, people you thought was going to be for you, they're going to grab you and say, now hang on a minute. You ain't thinking right. You done lost your mind.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right. Right.
People that had always been for him came out of the woodwork, and nowadays I think they would call this an intervention. Jesus is walking around claiming to be the Son of God. He's casting out devils. Somebody's got to get down there and stop him before he embarrasses the whole community. Talking about Jesus. How many of you, when you got saved, you had friends that wanted you to get saved, but they didn't want you to get that saved? I may need to preach over here for a minute. You had friends that wanted you to get saved, but they didn't want you to get that saved. I mean, they wanted you to get saved enough to not be a drunk, but not so saved that you quit drinking. I mean, they wanted you to get saved enough to quit running around on your life, but they didn't want you to quit running with them altogether. They wanted you to get saved, but they didn't want you to get that saved. About the time you threw in the towel and said, glory, I'm going with God, they said, now hang on a minute now. There ain't nothing wrong with a little Sunday morning religion, but why you got to go twice in the same day? Why you got to go back Wednesday night? And I've even heard that some of those people have been brainwashed and they give 10% of their money to that cult down there. Now they wanted you to get saved, but they didn't plan on you getting that saved. You say, preacher, I just don't know how to get rid of those kind of friends. It's not real hard. No. You just keep doing what you're doing. They'll lose your number before long. Stand up, Brother Doug. This is my assistant pastor, Brother Doug Bowling. You can be seated. We had started our little church there in Columbus, and we had four rows of chairs, five chairs wide, in a living room, and that's where we started. Doug and his wife, Sherry, lived in the neighborhood behind the church, and they were asking God to give them children. They're trying out different churches because, you know, the Lord, He's good in a fix. And so that's why everybody tries Him. They're going to all these big churches in the area. And we put our sign up out front and decided that where two or three were gathered together, they drive by on their way to so-and-so Baptist and this big church and that church. And one day as they're driving by, Sherry said, Doug, I think we need to go there. Yeah. He said, and I quote, he said, honey, you know what kind of people go to churches like that? He said, we ain't going in there. There's crazy people go to churches like that. They drove by 2 or 3 weeks, and finally, as only a woman can do, she said, either pull over or I'm jumping out. Am I telling you, Brother Doug? Said, either pull over or I'm jumping out. Well, he did what any good husband would do, and he pulled in. I remember standing behind that pulpit, and they came in just a few minutes late, and tried to sit in the back, but when you ain't got the four rows, there is no back. I'm spit that far, hallelujah. They came in, and girls, you know how it is, that smile y'all have when you've won and you know it. She come walking in grinning so big her ears was wrinkled up. And Doug looked like somebody was bringing him at gunpoint to God's house. They sat in the back. About 2 weeks later, they kept coming, and I went to the living room, sat down in the living room on the couch, and I looked there, and I said, Doug, I said, have you been saved? And he looked at me, and bald face lied, said, oh yeah, I've been saved. Sure, I've been saved. Everybody in Georgia's been saved. Yeah. I'm talking about, look, the preacher and I lied face to face with him. They come back that third Sunday morning and the Holy Ghost showed up. And somewhere around that invitation time, that hand went up. Those knees went down. And the Holy Ghost said, oh, I think I can do something with this. Doug was driving a route salesman for Budweiser when he got saved. Knelt down on that altar with a polo shirt on, had the Budweiser eagle on it right here. You say, I don't think you ought to come to church like that. Well, you just stay where you are, because the last time I checked in that book, Jesus was not afraid of publicans and sinners. And if you don't want them where you are, send them down here. I'm sure Brother Ken will take them at liberty. Got saved. God began to work in their heart and God began to work in their home, but they still had those old friends and those old ties. We'd been going on there about 11 weeks, I guess, and Doug had gotten saved, been with me about a month, and I finally got him to praying out loud in front of everybody. And I didn't have but one that could pray, and I needed an alternate, amen. Same fellow praying over the offering and over the invitation. I mean, you got to have some backup. Finally, I talked old Doug into prayer. I'd let him pray to dismiss the service, and here's what he'd say. I don't know where he had it, but every time he'd dismiss, he'd say, dear Lord, I pray you'd give us traveling mercies to make it back here tonight. And then the sorry sapsucker never would come back on Sunday night. I called him one day, I said, was you in a tragic accident today? Because I heard you praying for mercy. I guess the Lord let you careen off the interstate somewhere. But they had them old ties. Had those old relationships. Had those old friends. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, some of y'all was born in a Sunday school room and weaned on the altar, and you don't know nothing about that. But there is some in here tonight that when you went with God, there were some people you had to leave behind. I'm here to tell you something, honey. Your friends will oppose you when you go to serve God. You know what your friends will oppose you with? They will oppose you and they will come against you with misunderstanding. They do not know what God's doing in your life. And I'm going to need a witness now. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sit there and do your checkbook, plan your vacation, whatever you want to do. But if you know what I'm talking about, I need a witness right here. They'll say things like, well, who do they think they are? They'll say things like, well, what makes them so much better than us? Reckon you ain't coming around no more because you think you're better than we are. And isn't it amazing that crowd never gave you one problem until you started going with God? You know why? Because they misunderstand what God's doing in your life. Hallelujah. I better move along. Your friends will come against you with misunderstanding. But then notice verse 22. Here comes the second group that'll give you what? They'll give you a fit when you start fighting hell. Look at verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem. Number two, you'll find that your foes or your enemies will come against you when you start fighting the devil. And can I say to you that those scribes had to come down? Isn't it amazing? When you start serving God, the people that will come down on you. These enemies began to attack Jesus and they began to accuse Him. And I want to say this and I want you to get it so I can move on. Your friends come against you with misunderstanding, but your foes, listen to me, will come against you with misinformation. Yeah, you're right, I'm going to say this, and if you'll holler amen, we'll move right along. The devil is a liar! The devil is a liar! What did they do to Jesus when they sent Him to the cross? They paid somebody to tell falsehoods about Him, and they lied about the very sacred, sovereign Son of God. The devil is a liar. He's always been a liar. And if they lied about Jesus, he'll lie about you. And some of you won't get all upset when somebody tells something on you that ain't true. And you say, "But Scott, I'm going to fix that." And you go out to fix it. You know what happens when you stomp a fire? You spread it. And the more you go around telling everybody you ain't what they said you are, the more people know what they've said that you are. No, I hope you ain't dying on me now. You know what the Holy Ghost had to teach me as a young pastor, and I'm still a young pastor. I'll be there 10 years in March. I tell you what the Holy Ghost had to teach me is that if you'll just live right, if you'll just do right, your character will outlive the lies every time. And some of you running around trying to straighten out all the rumors, and while you're straightening out all the rumors, all you're doing is spreading the rumors that they've started about you. When we first started, I didn't get a paycheck for 2.5 years. We just lived by faith and believed God. And some of them got mad at me there in that church. And they began to tell everybody, "The preacher has stole $20,000 from the church." I got up one Sunday morning when it got back to me. I said, "Bless God, I wish we had $20,000 to steal." But honey, I got news for you. Your enemy, they don't care about you. They don't care how they hurt you, just as long as they hurt you. And if they lied about Jesus, they're going to flat out lie about you. Am I doing all right there, Ken? Can I say this? Before you get all uptight about your testimony, and I believe we ought to have a testimony, but you cannot control everything everybody says. You just got to learn how to be what you are and let it speak louder than what they've said about you. Before you get so uptight about the rumor mill, let me tell you something. There's a fellow in your Bible by the name of Joseph who is a type of Jesus. And Joseph walked all the way to his grave with the rumor and the conviction that he was a convicted rapist.
That's right.
Well, you didn't learn that in third grade Sunday school, did you? Joseph never was exonerated. They never tore up the record. They never said she's a liar. But Joseph went to the grave with everybody knowing he had went to prison for raping Potiphar's wife. He is as innocent as a man has ever been. But that lie dangled over his head till the day he died. And you better be careful what you spread around, because it may not be exactly like it happened. Amen, preacher. Y'all know how folks are. Joseph was the second chariot. He was under Pharaoh alone. He was the ruler of the whole known world. And when that second chariot would come by, everybody bowed down. And before they raised back up, somebody said, "Now, I know he's doing good for himself now, but you know what they say about him, Potiphar's wife." Well, they do it in Babylon. They probably did it in Egypt too. Now, I know he looks like somebody up there now, but you know what they say now. Potiphar's wife, she ain't had no reason to lie about that. I feel like maybe my shirt ain't the only blue thing in here. Maybe some tones is turning purplish blue tonight. What makes you think that the devil ain't going to lie about you? What makes you think that the devil's not going to spread stuff on you that's so far from the truth it couldn't be any clearer? But Joseph went to the grave with his foes spreading misinformation about him. Well, when you fight hell, it's amazing at the people that will give you hell. Look with me at my third one, and I'll hush. This cold meeting's good for some of y'all's marriage. You're closer than you've been in 25 years. Amen. Little marriage seminar under the tabernacle tonight. Hallelujah. Look now in verse 31. Here's the third group of people. Then there came then, oh Lord, his brethren and his mother. And standing without, sent unto him, calling him. Number three, your friends will come against you. Your foes will come against you. But I got bad news. Your family may come against you when you begin to do battle with hell. Now, I'm not here to take a cheap shot at nobody. But this messes up these Catholic boys that want to worship the Virgin Mary. And Brother Dave Phelps and I, we've been over, we've seen, you went with us to the Vatican, didn't you? And they've got 30-foot Mary holding a 2-foot Jesus. And they want to rub them beads and talk about Virgin Mary. I won't be too blunt tonight, and I don't know where you went to school, but Jesus had other brothers and sisters. She ain't the Virgin Mary no more. Now, if you don't understand that, see Dr. Bowman after the service and explain the physics of that statement. I mean, she gave that up at some point. And they want to worship the Virgin Mary and stack her up here above God as though she was the one that brought salvation to the world. Listen to me, she was blessed and highly favored, but she was just a woman. She was just flesh. She was just a person like you and me. And when her son did battle with the devil, she came out against Jesus and said, get him out of that prayer meeting and send him out here so I can talk to him. Now, some of y'all say, now I liked all that preaching, but you preaching on granny now. Don't get down there on me, Maul preacher. It's all right. I got enough gas to get home. Hallelujah. I filled up before I came here. So let me say this. Mary, when she was the Virgin Mary, the heavens opened up. The angels stood in the night sky and said, God's fixing to put His Son in your womb. And you're going to deliver the Savior of the world. That's Messiah living inside of your little belly. And if she knew that, and she still came out and opposed Him, I promise you, everybody in your family tree is not going to understand everything you do when you start serving God. Now, I want to be very clear on something. I know some of you get preaching having a good time and get a little bold, but I want to be very clear and I want to explain something to you. I don't believe that she came against him with malice, but she came against him with misdirection. And so oftentimes, it's not our faults that get us off course, because when they come around, bless God, we will do a fight. So you know who the devil will send? He'll send somebody that loves you. Oh, Lord, help us now. He'll send somebody that you love. And she didn't tell him quit preaching. She didn't tell him get out of the work of God. She just said, stop what you're doing in there and come out here. Now, we love our little preacher boy. Oh, my. We love our little preacher boy. But now, listen, you don't need to go running off down the road nowhere serving God. We need you back here at the home church. Their papa's in the cemetery. And if papa knew how dead it was at the home church, he'd dig himself up and move down the road somewhere. I'll tell you something. If you keep your membership at a church because they got a graveyard and somebody you know is in it, God help you, you deserve to go to church with a bunch of dead folks. Now, we don't mind you preaching, but just don't. Now, look, you can do it right here. We need you right here. You know your uncle's name is on that marble stone on the side of the wall. Now why you want to go down there to live with it when your uncle's name's in the stone on the wall outside the front door? Some of y'all look as though you've had this conversation in days gone by. What they didn't tell you was that little marble stone on the wall wasn't much more than a tombstone put up over that place. Because the minute they started putting God, the minute they started putting Uncle above God, the Holy Ghost said, see you later.
Amen.
Yeah. Those of you that are dead with me, you're already dead, so I might as well hold your wagon while I got you here. I want to tell you something, honey. I'm so tired of going to churches and seeing a little brass plaque on everything that'll sit still. If you got to go to church for a little brass plaque, you're going to a museum, not a Holy Ghost church. You get in the pulpit. There's the big donor of 1953 looking back at you. The pew's got somebody's name tattooed on the end of it. You can't even look out the window without old Uncle Larry's name staring right back at you. And family will come against you with misdirection. Because they don't know what God's trying to do in your life. You know what Jesus was doing? He was having a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Yeah. He was sitting in there teaching the Word of God with a group of folks that were starving for the Word of God. Yeah. And here come the family outside, tell Jesus to come out here. Yeah. And I like what Jesus said. He said, say what?
Yeah.
Excuse me. My mother and my brethren, who are they?
Yeah.
But they're those that do the will of the Father. You ought to love your mom and you ought to love your dad and you even ought to love your old mean Uncle Larry who got his name on the stone on the front of the church.
Yeah.
But that don't mean that you let them guide your walk with God.
Amen.
You've got to learn that when you fight the devil, family will come against you with misdirection.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing? I'm done. Isn't it amazing that if the devil showed up in a red suit with a pitchfork and a set of horns and a long tail, we'd all know who it was and we'd run him out of town. But I just don't think I'm high enough up in the army to have ever done real battle with him. But I sure have had some friends who tried to get me out of the work of God. I sure have had some foes who said some awful things trying to get me to quit. And then I've even had my own family who didn't understand what God was doing. And I had to say, I love you, but I love somebody else more than I love you. And I got to go where God's going. There'll be three groups of people come against you when you do battle with the devil.